2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
The MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by those handsomely bastards over at DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you are not signed up with us yet, what a better time to do so. Use the promo code WIN, W-I-N, and you can try us out for 7 free days. With that, you get access to the Domination Station, which absolutely crushed the NASCAR rankings yesterday. We got some golf coming up, especially the U.S. Open here in about 2 weeks, I believe. Week and a half, actually. And then you get all of our baseball tools as well. VIP lineups page crushing it each day. You get articles from me, Chop, Dave, Donuts, Burnsy, the rest of the MLB gang, all sorts of great stuff. But you can't get that without being a DFS Army member. So, once again, use the promo code WIN, W-I-N. Get yourself 7 free days to see what we're all about. And if you don't like us, well, good luck with you on your rest of your journey. I am your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. And I'm so proud to welcome back into the DFS Army Daily Dispatch Keith Hall, who is fresh off a qualifying win last week and a vacation. Find him on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. So nice to have you back, Keith.
Dude, it's good to be back. It was good to have a vacation, good to be nice and kind of get away and get unplugged. Hadn't had that ability since last baseball All-Star break, you know, going from baseball right into football, right into basketball. And then, you've got the NBA All-Star break, but for us, that doesn't really mean that we get a break. We just end up doing baseball prep and getting stuff going and then hopping right into the second stage of basketball. So, it's good to be back. Got a lot of good things planned for the DFS Army. I've got some stuff that I'm going to roll out, possibly early next week with the lineups page. Going to adjust some things, not on the grades or projections or anything, but just, kind of make the lineups page a little bit easier and simpler to read. I'm happy to announce that I will be submitting my request to Kevin by the end of the day on what the qualifications and everything is for the Domination Station. So we can
For MLB.
For MLB. So we can get that to the dev team. And my goal is to have it up and running by the pseudo second half start of the season, right after the All-Star break.
Very nice, very nice. Now, one, you know, we probably could have even talked about this prior to the podcast, but I think what would be really cool, you know how we always have the dollar per point? Well, what if we had the DFSA grade per dollar, right? Something similar to those lines.
Well, what I plan on doing, and just to give everybody a little bit of insight, I plan on having two different options as far as what you can optimize. You can optimize by either the daily projections that are uploaded or by that player's DFSA grade. So you will have the ability this is what I'm hoping to get across. And it's one of the things that I've been kind of, you know, running back and forth on. Hopefully you'll be able to, the goal is to be able to optimize by either one of them. So you can kind of get an idea of, you know, who really stands out. If you were to optimize, you know, one lineup and like three players stand out and they're in the same optimized lineup as in both of them, then you can really, really, you know, kind of help you narrow down your core a little bit. So,
all right.
And there'll also be stacking features in there as well. So I'm getting all that done and together and ready, and I will submit it to Kevin either tonight or first thing in the morning. So,
Very nice. Now, that was the thing that you wanted to say for the podcast, correct?
No, actually. Oh. It's pretty
double
funny.
Announcement day.
So the wife and I, we went to this weekend, upcoming weekend, and for all of you that don't know, you know, June and August are pretty hectic around the Hall household because we have you know, Father's Day in 2 weeks, which right. You know, now I'm a father, so that's gonna be nice.
Dad.
But Heather's birthday is next weekend. Mm. So Saturday, she doesn't listen to this, so I know. You know, I told her that she needed to go buy a dress, a nice dress.
Ooh.
I'm taking her out. I've already got her birthday present, you know, kind of, not kind of, I've already got a birthday present figured out and everything. You know, we're going out to a nice dinner that night. Katie's going over to my mom and dad's. There's going to be a lot. It's a lot of good stuff. But Sunday's her birthday. So we went to Kohl's this last weekend.
Great store.
And I was looking for, you know, dress shoes and everything. And Kohl's is the only place I buy my underwear because they've got the nice, you know, they've got really, really nice underwear. And they had a deal on it, is buy one, get one half off, or buy one, get one free, one of the two. So I was like, hey, Heather, I don't remember, because it's been a while since I bought underwear. I was like, I don't remember what size underwear I wear. Why don't you check? So I pull up my shirt in the back so she can check. And she goes, you have a hole in your shorts. I'm like, nuh-uh. She goes, yeah, huh? And she reaches through my shorts. And it's not, and we're not talking like just a little hole where she can reach a finger. No, no, no. She could literally probably put both of her hands and still have enough room through that hole in my shorts.
Hey, now.
Now, we had gone out to dinner. We had, you know, I had been, you know, and all of a sudden now I've got a hole in my shorts. And I'm walking around Kohl's. And she is dying laughing, so much so to where she's crying. She's laughing so hard. So we had to buy a new pair of shorts while I was at Kohl's. Well, that's only the first part of it. Get this, okay? So I go to try on the shorts at Kohl's. And the lady that is running the fitting room was there. And I was like, okay, so the shorts fit. No, she was an older lady.
I'm trying to get the visual for our audience here.
Yeah, it was an older lady working retail. So I was like, okay, so I was like, we have a weird situation here. She goes, okay. I was like, I'm wearing these shorts out because here are my other shorts. And you see the hole as I put my hand through the hole in my shorts.
No, man, is the hole in the back or the crotch?
It's
reason?
In the back.
Okay.
Right down the butt.
All right. I missed that.
And, it wasn't there when I put them on. I can promise you that. And so I'm sitting there, and she's like, okay, well, I'll just let everybody, if there's a problem when you're checking out, just tell them that Judy said it was okay.
Judy. Trustworthy name.
So we go to the checkout line. And I was like, okay, so here's the situation. She's like, you're the shorts guy, right?
Oh,
I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, I already know. She's like, in fact, the whole store knows. She said it over their, like, walkie-talkies. So everybody knew.
Nice, nice.
The guy walking around with his wife and a stroller and a baby is wearing shorts out because he had a hole in his shorts.
Yeah, we got a homeless guy coming up to the front with a hole in his shirts.
And my wife is cracking up.
That is good. And hey, the moral of the story here, kids.
Don't put on weight to put a hole in your shorts.
Don't let women go check in your backside. Something bad could always happen.
She's my wife. She's the only one. And see, the reason I said that is I
said the backside.
I told Heather because she goes, well, which ones do you want? I was like, I don't care. You're the only one that's going to see me in them. So just make sure, you know, that you like them. She's like, well, I don't know what size. So she goes to check. I was like, I don't know what size either, so check.
Well, that is quite the system that you got working there for going and getting new shorts, I must say. I don't have anybody to check my backside, but it's okay. I'll walk around with holes in my shorts. I'm not trying to impress anybody yet, but I guess if we have interesting story, I don't have any from over the weekend, but it is exciting to note that in a month from today, I will be turning 33 years old, and if it hasn't happened, my life is basically over. So
I will be turning 33 in 2 months from today.
All right. I got seniority around this son bitch. So
they're not tuning in for us to talk about our shorts and underwear and seniority. So
that's what
let's have some fun talking about baseball.
Indeed. All right. As always. Well, not as always, but as lately, you know, we've been going with the position by position breakdown. I was only able to get one podcast done last week, so let's make this one count here for the folks going forward. Who, you know, on this 7-game slate here today, not a full one, a half one here, but let's start off with some pitchers, and who is ringing the bell for us today?
Well, unfortunately, due to the strikeout upside that this team offers opposing pitchers, not because the pitcher actually has the strikeout upside, but the opposing team that he's facing does. Jeff Samardzija is popping off the page.
Yeah. Oh, he's got strikeout upside, my friend. Take a look at some of his last handful of games. Well, and then erase the one against the Nationals.
But. Yeah, I mean, I guess on today's slate, he does have the highest K percentage and the lowest walk percentage, but he also has one of the highest line drive percentages on the slate. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, the Brewers strike out 24.9% of the time versus right-handed pitching. He's got a middle-of-the-road DFSA grade of 54.66, but the projections are popping off the page. He's the highest projected pitcher that we have on the slate today. I don't mind it, I guess. I'm more of the stack-against-him type. Mm-hmm. I'll have to go back and look at some numbers because I'm not sure how this offense has kind of performed. Maybe you can enlighten me a little bit. I'm not sure how this offense has kind of performed with Ryan Braun out of the lineup. I know Jonathan Villar has kind of been hitting his stride a little bit. I know Domingo Santana is now astronomically for some reason, he's $3,700.
Been bopping.
And
Kershaw over the weekend.
Yeah, you just go for what, $1,500? If you look, just go back. He had a great series against the Dodgers. He hasn't had a zero output on FanDuel since May 25th, and he's only had three since May 7th or May 6th. Wow. So, I mean, the guy's putting up some numbers, which is good. He doesn't offer a lot in the stolen base upside, so you're looking a lot as far as the power is concerned. He's got 10 home runs, 31 RBIs. Not a bad average at 270. I actually kind of like the Brewers stack today. I know we'll get into it, but I just don't see Jeff Samardzija being the highest scoring pitcher on the slate.
Yeah, I think the strikeouts are certainly going to help, and you know, one of the, you know, as you mentioned, but without Ryan Braun in the lineup, they have struggled. You know, over the last 14 days, Brewers do have the second highest K rate, and then in ISO and WOBA, they're 25th in the majors, and then weighted runs created plus, they are at 26th. Now, this is all over the last 14 days. A lot of that has had to do with the struggles of Eric Thames, but, you know, starting with that Mets series last week, you know, he's kind of gotten back on the good foot. One of the big things for him. And, you know, the Mets took advantage of it most of the series where they just pitched him up and away. He just can't get around on that fastball. Well, you know, Jacob deGrom threw him a damn changeup. And ever since then, you know, it seems like Thames kind of got his power stroke back. He homered, I believe it was yesterday, I want to say. Yeah, he homered yesterday against Maeda there from the Dodgers. But, yeah, Thames has been looking a lot better. I think, you know, the scouting report with him is pretty easy. As I just mentioned, just pitch him up and away. Don't know if, you know, that's how teams are going to roll, but, I mean, that's certainly how I would do it. Samardzija, again, for those strikeout numbers. I mean, the Brewers have the fourth highest K rate against right-handed pitching this season, second highest K rate over the last 14 days, as I just mentioned. So that part's appealing. And I think, you know, the strikeouts, the fact that, you know, these numbers over the last 14 days aren't that great. I could see why Samardzija pops off on the projections and everything. So that part makes sense to me. Will it actually come to play out? I mean, you gotta at least look at it. I mean, Samardzija, prior to that last start against the Nationals, he had been averaging 43.7 FanDuel points over six starts. Fantastic numbers. And a lot of that has to do with the strikeout. So that plays well to what Samardzija does and what the Brewers do well. That part works out well. Now, the pitcher on the opposite side of things is pretty interesting as well, with Junior Guerra. Now, he's only allowed 3 earned runs in 14 and 2/3 innings so far this season, but you look at the Giants' numbers here, no, they really don't have a high K rate, but, I mean, we look at, you know, their season numbers against right-handed pitching. They're dead last in all the power categories of ISO, WOBA, WRC+, and then you look over the last 14 days, they're 29th in ISO, 27th in WOBA, 25th in WRC+. And Guerra's really not a strikeout guy, so that also plays well to his strengths, where he can probably just go, you know, something like 7-6 innings, maybe, you know, hold the Giants down completely to maybe, you know, an earned run or two, but also maybe have like 5 strikeouts. I mean, both of these guys pitch well to their team's, I guess, not such finer qualities in this one. So I think both guys are actually a fine option when the day's all said and done.
I don't know if I can do Junior Guerra at 8,200.
Drew had a great start against the Mets last time out, too.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, his 3 starts this season, you know, the first one wasn't good. He, you know, obviously,
yeah.
It was either opening day or second day. I can't remember which one. But
I believe he was opening day and he got injured right away.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, he was running out on a bunt. He was running out of pitch to first base and kind of pulled his hammy. Made 2 starts in a row, pretty good. Not bad. The Giants aren't a team that I really like to pick on with pitchers. I know, one, they don't strike out a lot, so we know that that's part of the factor. But the second thing is like they've got some sneaky pop, and it's more along the lines of, you know, they allow, or they really, really do kind of have guys like Brandon Belt, Buster Posey, that can put the ball out of the yard. And considering the fact that this is in Milwaukee, this is a little bit scarier for me. I know he hasn't been bit by the long ball this year a lot, but if you look at his peripherals, where did he go? There he is. You know, I don't know. I know his K percentage isn't there, but I don't know. I don't think he's as good as pitching to that 1.84 ERA as people are thinking to, and being $8,200, maybe I'm missing something with him. But I just don't think it's a place that I'm going to go.
All right, fair enough. We do have other options on this slate. If you're interested, of course, Carlos Martinez going at Cincinnati today. The ballpark sucks, but the pitcher does not. C-Mart has had 7 straight quality starts. He's 4-1 with a 2.03 ERA in his last 5 starts. And he could, you know, when I face the Reds, I love doing it when they don't have Billy Hamilton in the lineup. He poses so many problems. Him and Schebler both left Saturday's game. They didn't play yesterday, so we're going to have to see, you know, how that all works out. Of course, Schebler has that massive home run upside, but he certainly has the strikeout upside as well, too, going against him. Martinez did face the Reds back on April 9th. He did allow 5 earned runs over 5 innings, and he was massively chalky that night, if you remember, because that was his first start after the one on opening day against the Cubs, where he just absolutely balled outrageous. So
that's his worst start of the season, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you do have that behind Martinez. And, again, of course, the ballpark factor is somewhat Well, it's not somewhat. It's terrible, to be quite honest with you. But, and then also, too, we're going to have about a 30 to 50% chance of light rain drizzle combo at this game. From what I saw, it looks like the game could be delayed at the beginning, and then it should be fine going forward.
If it's delayed at the beginning, I just want to add this in there. If it's delayed at the beginning, I have a lot more interest in Carlos Martinez than if if they try to start it and then it gets delayed. Yeah. I think with the lack of really good pitching today, I think Carlos Martinez is going to be your default chalk option. I think Jeff Samardzija is going to be chalky as well. But, you know, it's just Joey Votto, Adam Duvall, Eugenio Suarez. I mean, Zach Cozart, it's not 1927 Yankees Murderer's Row, but that poses a very, very, very difficult, you know, 2-4 pop in the lineup. And I'm just looking here. I want to see some BVP here. Okay, so Scooter Gennett might be in the lineup tonight. He's 7-23 off of Carlos Martinez. Scott Schebler, 6-19 with the .316 average, 3 extra base hits, including a home run. Adam Duvall's 3-5. You know, it looks like the Reds are have been his Achilles heel over his career. Now he's gotten better. He's not the same Carlos Martinez as when he started and when he came up, and he was just throwing fastballs hard and harder. And every time he got pissed, he would just try to throw it harder. Depending on what you want to do, if you're going single entry tonight, and depending on how you want to attack it, you can make a case for stacking Reds against Carlos Martinez, considering he's going to be chalk, and then you're going to get a double whammy of not only fading Carlos if he blows up or even struggles a little bit, and getting the abilities to have, you're getting basically the double pump, the double fist pump if, the Reds do get to him like it looks like they kind of do from time to time.
All right. A couple other interesting options here, but, I'll just come out. These two could be BVP options, and it's very interesting. Bartolo Colon going against the Phillies tonight. Now, I get it. There's a total of 10 in this game. They're at probably one of the best hitting parks of all time. However, Michael Franco, Freddy Galvis, Odubel Herrera, Howie Kendrick, and Michael Saunders all probably going to be in the Phil starting lineup tonight. They're a combined 14-105 against Colon over the course of their careers. That is a .133 average. So, some people might overlook that and say, well, Colon's just completely fat and old right now, and none of that past really matters. But that is still a scary threat to deal with there with those BVP numbers. And then, of course, we've got the all-lefty late night going tonight. And, of course, Gio Gonzalez could be very interesting here. Now, again, terrible BVP numbers against Gonzalez. Adrian Gonzalez, Franklin Gutierrez, Yasiel Puig, Chase Utley are a combined 8-62. That's a .129 average up against Gio Gonzalez. So those are all interesting. We know the Nationals, too. They mash lefties. So, perhaps Gio can get more of a win probability in this game tonight. So that's there. I don't mind both of those guys' plays, kind of stat-based driven plays.
Yeah, Gio's the one that's interesting to me because we know the struggles for left-handed for the Dodgers against left-handed pitching this season. Which, now they have gotten better, I will say.
I was going to say, they're miles better against left-handed pitching this season.
But they're still towards, still towards the middle of the pack. Only 324 WOBA, but 174 ISO. They've gotten better. They've gotten a lot better. But, when you combine the guy I'm afraid of in this is Kiki. Especially if he's leading off. 354 ISO versus left-handed pitching. If I don't play Gio, I'm playing Kiki. I don't care if he is $2,800 on FanDuel. He's got one of the highest DFSA grades in that Dodgers lineup, outside of Logan Forsyth and Cody Bellinger. It's going to be interesting because I don't want anything to do with the guys in the middle. The Corey Seager, Yasiel Puig. I'm interested in Franklin Gutierrez maybe. This would be kind of a mini stack, but I'm very intrigued because of that win probability with Gio. Now, Gio is not a guy that you want to play if you have, you know, ulcer issues or heart issues. Because here are the bad games that he's had this season. Okay. Baltimore, where he allowed 4 walks, 3 home runs. What was it? 7 hits. I mean, it was a bad game. You've got Atlanta, who is really good against left-handed pitching.
Also, got to remember in that ballpark too in Atlanta. Not yeah, big
and both of these are on the road. Now this is a better, you know, road start, but with Gio, you have to have a kind of a grain of salt. You're looking for those strikeouts. You're looking for him to pitch deep in the game and get that quality start and possibly get that win, which is always a good possibility with, and, you know, Bryce Harper's back from his suspension and yep. with it being the Nationals and stuff. But when you're talking, you know, he's going to pitch deeper in the games. He's going to pitch into the 6th, 7th inning. He hasn't pitched, you know, less than 5 innings all season. The one thing I have an issue with is, are the K's going to be there enough for him to be able to actually, you know, pay off and be worth it? He's 8,700, but he scares me.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, right? So you bring up the K's, and it's kind of, the K's are a gift and a curse here for Gio Gonzalez, right? So some of his better starts this season is when he's not getting the strikeouts, because he's able to go deeper into games. That allows him to get that quality start, and again, it just allows him to go deeper. When he gets those strikeouts, they usually come with a couple of walks. They usually, you know, and they take innings off of his start, if you realize this. So you kind of have to look at that, but you know, I looked at it. 8 of his 11 starts have gone for at least 34 FanDuel points. That's his range right there. That 34 to 40 is where you're typically going to find Gio. So I think he can be fine for cash games. You know, it's weird saying that on a night like tonight where nobody's really safe, but that's kind of where I kind of put him in that same box as maybe like a Marcus Stroman, where he's not going to really wow you to death, but he's good for solid points at the pitcher's position. And, you know, it's weird since, you know, you look at the Vegas numbers on this game, Dodgers 135 favorites, over under 8.5. That doesn't really bode well for Gio. But again, I think he could still get you, you know, that 34, 37 kind of points that he's usually at. So,
yeah, it's just, if that's the case, you're hoping that you're, you know, tonight is, I don't think, a night that's going to be, you know, one off of pitching. I think there's some good pitchers. There's some good options. I don't think that, you know, there's not a slam dunk type of guy that you have to have in order to compete tonight. Especially if Carlos Martinez struggles versus the Reds hold true, which I think they could, depending on the lineup that they put out. So
now, I'm sorry, one more play that I wanted to – well, actually two more plays, but they're from the same game. So at Wrigley Field tonight, you got the wind blowing in about 16, 17 miles an hour from left field. You know, Eddie Butler is going for the Cubs, Dan Straley for the Marlins. And you look at the Vegas numbers on this game, Cubs only -125 favorites, but there is the lowest total of the night there at 7.5. So obviously Vegas knows what's up with the weather sock.
or the windsock, and that is certainly not boding well for hitters in that game. Hopefully people just, you know, don't pay attention to that, and, you know, they just roll on with it. And, you know, it makes it even tougher to have that 7.5 total, since the Marlins have been like the third best offense here over the last 14 days. You look at the Cubs, maybe not necessarily great numbers, but they're still putting up a decent amount of runs in all their games. So that is certainly an interesting spot to look at too. I mean, Butler might be an interesting streamer there for tonight, but you know, the 7.5 certainly does not bode well for the hitters.
Yeah, I kind of take the Padres out of the equation when it comes to Eddie Butler. They've always owned him in his career. It doesn't matter if he was pitching at Petco, if he's pitching at Coors. Everything kind of matches up well when it comes to the Padres and Eddie Butler. So I take that start with a grain of salt, usually. And I don't really worry about it. But, you know, if you look against the Giants, he, you know, 5 innings, 1 run. Against Milwaukee, he threw 3 innings, 2 runs. St. Louis, you know, his first start of the season. He's not going to go deep into games right now. That's not his job right now. You know, the Cubs are easing him into this rotation. He's the fifth starter. He's the fifth starter for a reason right now. But he's shown a lot of progress as far as his trusting his two-seam fastball and his pitch selection, and really kind of relying on a lot of what got him drafted in the first round, supplemental first round, and what helped him progress really kind of quickly throughout the minors. I don't mind it. It's more of an SP2 play for me in GPPs on DraftKings. I think the Marlins are going to be – I think everybody kind of still has this stigma of Eddie Butler, and they kind of stack against him, or at least take some one-offs against him. It's not something I'm planning on doing. If you look at Eddie's, you know, ground ball rate this season, it's higher than it's probably ever been. He's got a high soft contact rate. Now, he still allows a lot of hard contact, but with a two seam sinker baller type of pitcher, that's something that you're gonna have to.
Like Seti.
Either that or he wants puffs. One of the two.
All right. With the pitchers tonight, we laid out a couple good options for you there. But let's get into some stacks tonight before we break it down positionally. What offenses in particular are we looking at here?
I'm starting off with the St. Louis Cardinals.
All right.
I mean, I think this is going to be one of your chalky stacks of the night. They're going against Asher Wojnarowski. I'm starting off there. It's probably, I mean, they've got almost a 5-run total. I know it's not as high as, you know, in that Philly Atlanta game, or but it's not as high as Houston, obviously, but it's the third highest on the slate. And I think that's a good place to start. I also really, really like I talked about, I like the Cincinnati stack. Starting there at the 2 spot with Zach Cozart, going Cozart, Votto, Duvall, Suarez. On DK, depending on if Schebler's in that lineup or not, you can throw in Schebler. But I really like those guys. The reason for that is they all have over a 200 ISO versus right-handed pitching this season so far. And only one of them, Adam Duvall, has under a 330 WOBA. Zach Cozart, if he continues what he's doing, he's well on his way to being the starting shortstop in the National League for the All-Star game. At least he should be. He is by far been the best shortstop in the National League. And I might be forgetting a player or two, but, you know, Cozart has been phenomenal. And that lineup, as bad as their pitching is, that lineup is still very scary to face. It's kind of they're kind of the Colorado Rockies of previous years, where they had a daunting lineup, you know, from top to bottom. But their pitching never or very rarely would keep them in the games. And that's kind of the way I view the Cincinnati Reds. What do you think of Atlanta?
I love them because they're facing the Phillies. And, you know, Nick Pivetta, we've seen him get blown up here before. And, again, too, he's not going to go that deep in the game. So that's more exposure to the Phillies bullpen, which has been one of the worst in the league this season. Take it from me. I've seen it plenty of times. Yeah, typically the Phillies starter will get knocked out early and – you know, the bullpen will come in and just add on to the hurt. So, again, too, you know, we're going to have a little bit of weather there tonight. It's probably going to be light rain or a drizzle, it looks like, throughout the game. But, you know, we know how the weather works. It could just go away at any minute. So, again, if it's going to be humid in that ballpark, you're going to see it flying around a lot tonight. I mean, Vegas has it at a 10 with the over-under. So, yeah, there's a lot to like there.
Yeah, it's... I'm also thinking, like I said, I mentioned Milwaukee. I think Travis Shaw, Domingo Santana, Keon Broxton, Jet Bandy. I'm looking more towards the bottom of that lineup. You can even probably throw Jonathan VR in there. You know, his on base percentage has kind of gone up over the last couple, over the last four or five games or so, and he's always got stolen base upside. Jesus Aguilar is interesting, but you can only play him or Eric Thames. You can't play both of them on FanDuel,
right?
Which kind of sucks, but you know, I would lean more towards probably Jesus Aguilar. Just because I'm still not a believer in Eric Thames long term, even though it's a good matchup and it is Jeff Samardzija, I, you know, kind of tend to stack against him with extreme prejudice. And if Jeff Samardzija goes out and throws a good game, then you know what, whatever. and then of course you've got the smoldering hot Houston Astros.
Indeed.
So I go away and they're winning. I come back and they're winning. So I don't know what else to say, but they win.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous what these guys are doing on offense. Sure, they had the benefit of playing the Twins and the Rangers over the last six games in that span. That certainly helps a lot. But, you know, you got to look at it, too. You look at the Astros, they're dead last in K rate, meaning that's a good thing. Like, they're striking out the fewest. And then all their offensive power categories are all first. So that is just fantastic to be, you know, so one-sided on both ends of it. You know, every single guy in their lineup right now, like you take a look at, you know, we'll get to it positionally as well, but you look at the Astros numbers here. I got to pull these up there because they're so freaking amazing. So Springer, now these are all over the last six games for the Astros. Springer, 15 for 30, five homers, nine RBIs. Altuve, 13 for 27, two doubles, homer, four RBIs, eight runs. Carlos Correa, who kind of cooled off the last 2 days a little bit, still hit a home run yesterday.
Really? He's got four home runs in his last six games.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know,
if that's like, cooling off, I want that cooling. I hate to see what he does when he gets hot.
It's his average, which has really taken the hit. And again, it's not even a hit because he was hitting like 500, you know, going into the weekend. Over the last few games at that span. But yeah, 11 for 28 is cooling off for him with a double, four homers, 12 RBIs, eight runs over that last six-game stretch. And then, of course, Beltran, McCann, Norichika, Aoki, my favorite nine-hole hitter in the league. All of these guys have pretty good BVP numbers against Adam Kennedy. So, you know, I might loosen up my exposure a little bit since they're going to be at Kauffman Stadium tonight. Yeah, we really haven't seen Kauffman Stadium be that drastic of a pitcher's park over the last 2 days. We saw the Royals score a lot of runs there on Saturday. The Indians got busy yesterday.
So, again, it just seems like the Astros can do no wrong at this point. I will say a lot of, you know, some of these Astros homers probably would have gone out of Yosemite Park. So, you know, not that big a deal. But I think, again, I'm not going to have like a full-on Astros stack. But, you know, I'm going to have my Astros. I'm just going to limit it since they're at Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah, I think that's a good kind of analysis there.
You know, I'm sorry, too. I wanted to say, too, but my favorite nine-hole hitter, Norichi Aoki,
who actually owns Ian Kennedy.
Yes, I was 6-for-13, one extra base hit. But I think, like, Kauffman Stadium is the perfect place to play a guy like Aoki because we know he's not going to have the power. We're not expecting that power from him. We're just expecting him to get on base. So this is a perfect place for him to kind of dump some shitty singles in, possibly steal a base, which he can always do. I mean, you know, with him batting in that nine hole and the way that these guys are hitting at the top of the order lately.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, he'll be coming around the mountain when he come. So he's always, you know, the guy just gets on base for pretty cheap. So he is, again, I talked about him the first podcast that we did this season, like to look out for him in this lineup. And it's unfortunate that he's not in the lineup every day. But you look at what the Astros have on their bench every day, like that could certainly be starting for over 60% of the teams in the majors right now. So, yeah, I think I'm sure he'll be in the lineup tonight if, you know, the Astros are smart and play the BVP numbers here. So he's certainly a good option.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I also don't mind, you know, going a little bit. I know this is going to sound really, really, really bad. I'm going to have to look because, guys, keep in mind, I have missed a week. I'm going to have to look. I want to see what Toronto's done against left-handed pitching over the last week. Because for some reason, just I'm not sure. I'm not sure I really want to miss out on, you know, the picking on Sean Manaea train. I know he's kind of been hit and miss, but if you look at it, you know, his misses are, you know, against guys like the Angels, you know, where he threw two innings. I think he got hurt in that game. But, you know, against the Angels kind of own him. I mean, he's been impressive, and this is a ballpark that can definitely help him. I'm not sure exactly which way I want to go with that.
Well, here's the interesting Manaea, who I didn't fail to mention him in the pitchers portion. Like I get that, you know, he's actually been very good these last two starts, 55 in each of the last two starts, and that's at the Yankees and at the Indians. However, facing this Blue Jays team over the last 14 days, the Blue Jays have the second lowest K rate there at 16.7, which is ridiculous. And then, you know, they're kind of Astros light in the fact that they have the second lowest K rate there over the last 14 days, but they've also got the second highest power numbers of everything, ISO, WOBA, WRC here over the last 14. So they have been rocking. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they got Tulo. They have Tulo and that they have Donaldson back in their lineup. So
yep, exactly.
I don't think KD's liking the Blue Jays.
No, I don't think KD's liking much of anything right now.
All right. Yeah, so those are all some decent stacks tonight to get to. Let's talk about some catchers tonight. I really don't like much at this position tonight. Now, Evan Gattis, Brian McCann, both grading out as the highest so far. You know, so that kind of says a lot that from both sides, that's where the Astros are coming from here. But again, the ballpark doesn't really, you know, get me all that giddy here. Aside from Gattis and McCann, any way that we can go at the catcher spot tonight?
I really like Jet Bandy.
Okay.
I mean, we've talked about the Marlins catcher or the Brewers catchers there for a while, and I think Jet Bandy is just a really, really, really good option, especially if you want to kind of save a little bit of money here. Salvi Perez against Mike Fiers is always a good option. And then Austin Barnes, if he's in that lineup over Yasmani Grandal tonight, he's mid-salary on FanDuel.
Okay. Yeah, and again, too, if it's not Jet Bandy, I think Manny Pena. I think we've seen most of the season Pena, the guy that can get on base. Bandy's the big bopper. Yeah, but again, both of those guys do pretty well, so I'm not hating that. I like that Salvador Perez against Mike Fiers. Mike Fiers is absolutely piss poor against right-handed batters, so that's certainly a good way to go. Again, not in love with the ballpark, but again, he could still get on base a couple times. Tyler Flowers, also an interesting option. He's going to be there at SunTrust Park. He's 7-for-17 over his last five games. Pretty good triples here. He's got the double, homer, 6 runs, which is always good for a catcher, so got that.
Yep. You've also got JT Realmuto. I know it's not a great hitter's environment as far as Wrigley's concerned today, but you know, it is an option.
All right, let's look at first base. I think, you know, the most popular guy probably going to be Matt Adams. Only 2,800 there on FanDuel. Got the great matchup against the Phillies. I like that. I see way too many projections like in Matt Carpenter. I understand his matchup in the ballpark that he's at, but guy's only hitting, what, 213, 217 this season. Does have 9 homers, 27 RBIs, but right now he's just not – he doesn't look good at the plate, so – I don't know, maybe there's some things that some of these projections see that the eye does not, but I don't know. I can't go there with Carpenter tonight.
I mean, I don't mind it. I like it's, you know, it's kind of one of those things. He's been, you know, he's been hitting the ball a lot better recently. I actually play baseball with a diehard Cards fan. In fact, he writes for a Cardinals blog, and he just says that, you know, Carpenter looks a lot more comfortable at the plate than he used to. It's kind of one of those situations where you have to make a decision, and you have to understand that your decision should be based off of at a position like this, your decision should be based off of what you project the ownership to be. At least in my opinion, in GPPs. If you expect Matt Carpenter to be, and he's getting talked up a lot, so don't get me wrong, he pops off as far as the DFSA grade, but he's not our highest rated first baseman by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. You know, if you expect him to be, you know, under 5%, then yeah, I think you can take a chance on Matt Carpenter because of the situation that's there. But if you're expecting him to be 25-35%, I think at first base you can go find lower owned that could not only outperform him, but it could outperform him at a vastly smaller ownership percentage.
Indeed. Now we had this interesting discussion over the weekend where when I went to the Daily Fantasy Boot Camp in Boston last year, this was the first time I had really even thought about it, but it was a fantastic point. But I forgot which guy brought it up. I believe it was Al Smith that brought it up, basically saying that you always have a lot of power options there at first base. And, you know, it's maybe not such a bad idea to pay down at the first base spot, whereas, you know, at your second base, your shortstop, you know, you typically don't have too many Carlos Correa's or Daniel Murphy's or Jose Altuve's, guys like that. So it'd be better to pay up at those positions. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't mind going and finding cheap power at first base. Guys like Jake Marisnyk, you know, Yonder Alonso's been pretty cheap most of the season. He's not anymore, but that's because he's been absolutely just crushing the ball. You know, Tommy Joseph was cheap at one point. You know, these guys, they're generally cheaper, and I don't mind doing that. Now, the cheapest first baseman that we have today in the projected starting lineups is Jesus Aguilar for the Milwaukee Brewers at 2,800. I kind of like that. I know it's a little out of left field, pardon the pun, but I kind of like that. I also don't mind, you know, guys like Brandon Belt. If I'm going to pay $3,700 for Matt Carpenter, I can go get Justin Bour against Eddie Butler. I can go get Kendrys Morales against Sean Manaea. I can go get Justin Smoke. You know, Ryan Zimmerman's in a good spot. If by some chance Zimmerman's out of lineup, but Adam Lind's in that lineup, then that's a good spot. Joey Votto is probably my top first baseman, though.
Ooh, interesting.
Just because he's got pretty good history against... Oh, no, he doesn't. He's 2-for-14. Never mind. I like Votto in stacks, but probably not for one-offs. I don't know. Brandon Belt, Eric Thames, Jesus Aguilar, those guys seem like they're probably going to be my big targets. I really, really, really like J.A. Happ, so I'm not sure I want to go to Yonder Alonso tonight.
Ryan Zimmerman, too. Don't forget about this guy. He's been crushing pitching all season. Even so lately here, look at these numbers over the last six games. 11 for 25, two doubles, three homers, nine RBIs, four walks, eight runs. Just absolutely crushing here over the last six games. Remember, he went into a little bit of a funk after that huge tear that he went on at the beginning of the season. So he is back. He will be facing a lefty tonight. His 374 batting average this season, 30 points higher than the guy in second place for that. So I really like Zimmerman tonight. You mentioned Justin Smoke. He grades out remarkably high here on the DFS A grade at 120.08. A lot has to do. He's got pretty good power against left-handed pitching. Going up against Sean Manaea tonight might be a tough task, but that's okay. That could certainly work out well. Just as it's going to be pretty much every single night, you're going to have plenty of options there at the first base position. Just rattling them off again. I mean, you know, Matt Adams, Justin Smoke, Anthony Rizzo is even a decent option tonight. I know we talked about the wind, you know, not playing well at Wrigley Field tonight, but if you got the wind blowing in from left, in some of these stadiums, it's going to shoot out there to the right. So that's, you know, a good thing that you could look at. Again, Ryan Zimmerman, Eric Thames, not a bad idea. Even Justin Bour in that same game there against the Cubs. But,
the wind in Chicago is coming in from left field.
as you got up for a second, I talked about it. But yeah, with the wind blowing in. No, I got you. I know exactly what you're going to say. With the wind blowing in from left, it could kind of shoot out to right field. And that was the way that it was in that series against the Yankees, because the wind was coming in from left field like the entire series. And then you had a lot of balls going out to right. So yeah, I think that could certainly happen.
Ooh, then the lefties from Miami might be sneaky tonight then.
Yeah. And again, just, you know, if you're trying to visualize this on the podcast too, just again, you know, just think about the wind coming in there from the left center field. So yeah, those balls getting hammered out to left field, that wind's just going to knock it down. But with the way that some of these stadiums are built, that wind blowing in from that left field, it could bounce off there, you know, shooting out there to that right field side, you know, if you're trying to imagine that. So just think it's a circle of life in a baseball stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's talk about some second baseman again. You know, it's funny, I was just saying, oh yeah, we always have a shortage of second baseman. Well, not necessarily tonight. Daniel Murphy has been pretty hot lately. He has gone 14 for 28, three doubles, a homer, seven RBIs, five runs over the last five games. You know, lefty-lefty matchup does not faze this guy one bit. He's always got pretty good numbers against whoever's hitting. Murphy's actually, you know, we were just talking about Ryan Zimmerman being the leading hitter in the majors. Murphy has the fifth highest average there this season, so that's not a terrible idea to go that way. And then, of course, Jose Altuve, he's had some massive numbers. We talked about it when we were talking about the Houston stack, but we could say it again. You know, 13 for 27, two doubles, homer, four RBIs, four walks, eight runs, which are very important in getting some extra fantasy points. All that he's done over the last six games. So you got two major headliners there at the position today.
Yeah, I agree with that. Whit Merrifield's been very, very, very good lately. I also think that Devin Travis has been kind of one of the unsung heroes for this Toronto Blue Jays offense and helping them turn around. 425 wOBA, 290 ISO versus right-handed pitching, or sorry, left-handed pitching this season. I don't mind it. Don't mind it at all. The issue I have with second baseman today is I don't know if, unless it's part of a stack, I don't know if I really, really, really want to pay up. I mean, when you've got Jonathan VR going against Jeff Samardzija at 3,000, you got Javi Baez at 3,000. You've got Adam Rosales at 22. You've got
Pinda.
You've got Devin Travis at 33, and you know, Greg Garcia at 27. It's very, very difficult for me to pay up unless it's part of a stack. Now, if Scooter Jeanette is in this lineup, he is my top second baseman. As far as tournaments is concerned, because we've talked about the history he has against Carlos Martinez.
Oh, sure.
And I don't think that Jose Peraza is going to be in this lineup today, but we could, it could be different. So
what's fair enough. Say? Don't forget, we got Mikey Moustakas. Oh, I'm sorry. We're not even at third baseman. I'm very sorry. Ian Happ went bananas last night. I'm sure he's going to be a pretty popular play today. Don't forget my boy Cesar Hernandez batting leadoff there at SunTrust Park, 3,100 on FanDuel. This is like he does well. You know, he hits very well at Philly. You know, he's had more than his fair share of homers this season. And again, that right field area there at SunTrust Park is very, very shallow. So, you know, if he gets a hold of a line drive, it's very possible that it goes out. So I like that option. Of course, Scooter Jeanette, Min Price, I mean, Great American Ballpark, anything could go out of there. So that is appealing. And, yeah, I mean, these are pretty much the guys that I've limited down to. I think even if you want to get really crazy, Whit Merrifield, again, we talk about right-handed bats against Mike Fiers. That's not a bad idea. I believe Merrifield's batting around 500 over the last week or so. You know, he's kind of, you know, the Royals really have not been that bad on offense here of late. You know, for all the struggles that they had at the beginning of the season, you know, I guess a little warmer temperatures are helping them out there in the middle of the country. But, you know, they are not the team that we could just automatically go ahead and pick on anymore. So it might not even be a bad idea, especially I know a lot of people are probably going to be stacking Astros tonight. Good contrarian way could be to good contrarian way to get some exposure to that game could be through the Royals. So give him a thought.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, third baseman. Now we could talk about Moustakas, but not just yet. I think it's pretty clear Jed Jerko could be if not the top player at the third base position, possibly the entire night. We know that he crushes right-handed pitching, and sure, you know, he might not be the cheapest guy, but we've also got some baby narrative for Jerko. He played his first game since having a baby daughter there. I think he had the daughter earlier in the week, but he played his first game last night since coming back. But he's got a fantastic matchup tonight, and again, you know, the best numbers of any Cardinals hitter. That's all their lefties as well against right-handed pitching this season. You know, he's got six homers. He's batting over 300 against righties. This is a perfect opportunity for him.
Yep. And OPS as we talked about this, I have not paid back paid it back yet. I am currently looking for my Jed Jerko memorabilia. So I do have to purchase.
I got a piece of gum that Jerko chewed once.
Oh God, please no.
No, God, no, no. Not a freak.
Yeah, I've gotta get me some Jed Jerko memorabilia for, you know, sealing the deal.
Yep.
So that shall be coming. I will be purchasing that, and I will put it in Slack for everybody to see. If you don't understand and realize what I'm doing, I'm a big proponent of paying back you know, the guys that put you into the lead for tournaments when you take down GPPs, and especially qualifiers. I just think it's good karma. So it's one thing that we do here in the DFS Army, and we stress do it in the DFS Army. So I shall be doing that. Unfortunately, my baseball team is also the Cardinals that I play for. So I have to get some.
You should just get a Jerko jersey and play in it and do it that way.
I can't play without my number 17, buddy.
You know what? You gotta petition the league for it. But you know what? Like, when I have my first massive score like that, if I'm going to like a final, or if I'm, I hit like 5-6 figures, I'm going straight to the source. I'm going to send the guy like an edible arrangements basket, or, wine here from the state of New Jersey, or something.
Think of that. I might just do that.
Because you know what? I mean, selfishly, I'm looking at, like, that guy will probably, like, hit you up on Twitter and
should
be like,
should I send him a strippergram?
See, I think that's going a little over the top. Again,
he just had a baby. Gotcha.
Girl, right? So, he's got all. Maybe, like, send the kid something. Like, send him, like, a month's worth of diapers or some shit.
A DFS
like,
Army onesie.
Something weird so that he remembers. Be like, you know what? All fantasy players aren't assholes. Because, most of the people on Twitter, like, if Jerko goes 0-4, I'm going to burn your house down. you cost me $8,000. The guy's like, I don't give a shit. Like, I was facing Clayton Kershaw that day, man. Like, I don't hit left-handed pitching that well. But, yeah, I think going directly to the source is probably a better way than getting the guy's bobblehead or something like that.
I am putting it into the Slack MLB chat. I'm going to send Jed Jerko something. I don't know how
I'm telling
to.
You, something for the kid. He'll appreciate it.
But we're going to put a poll and get some ideas that what I send Jerko. So
I'm telling you, people like shit for their kids. That's what I've noticed. All right, third base. We got Jerko there. Keith's boy. I'll call him my boy. He usually does pretty well for me. You got Mike Moustakas there in that same game who I like. I know, the right-handers against Fires are particularly, where we attack. But, hey, I'm down with Moustakas against a shitty pitcher in general.
Okay. I mean, we say that Mike Fires is a crappy pitcher, but I don't think he's as crappy as people think he is. He's just had a bad year. So, I mean, yeah, you can kind of go that way, but it's not the greatest thing in the world.
Arm tat.
I like Travis Shaw. Like Travis Shaw a lot. I mean, Jed Jerko's $500 cheaper. You could go there. Logan Forsythe's a good option there against
Rating
Geo.
Rating out very highly on the DFSA grid.
Yep. Eugenio Suarez. So he's also a good option. So.
Yeah, Suarez was a guy that I really liked over the weekend against Atlanta because he had his price tag at $2,800. And, yeah, he wasn't hitting that well, but he was also hitting in, San Francisco and I believe Philly he did pretty well when he – not, great, but he did well enough when they were on that road trip. So, again, you got to look at some of these guys' price points and actually see, why they're at that low. That's where offense goes to die in San Francisco, and that was part of his problem there. But you got a guy like that who's batting right in the middle of a Reds lineup that can always put up any runs any given day there, Great American Ballpark. I don't love it today against Carlos Martinez, but I do think that later on this week when they're facing a much worse pitcher and he's below $3,000 at Great American Ballpark, it's ridiculous. So, and the other thing too with Suarez, he hit the ball pretty well over the weekend, just didn't necessarily find the holes. So
yeah,
he's not too far from turning around. Speaking of not too far from turning it around, I had been talking about Michael Franco possibly turning the corner over the weekend, and god damn it, he got rewarded with a nice line drive, right center field home run yesterday. Again, didn't have the greatest numbers over the weekend, but he did hit the ball quite solidly. I read something there. He's been working on fixing the swing. He was actually very close to getting outright demoted. He's been so bad. But definitely savored something with the homer yesterday. And again, the swing's looking better. I don't necessarily love the $3,100 price tag for him on FanDuel. I do love the venue that he's at. I think that'll play well to him. I like him against Bartolo Colon. But look, the guy's had his struggles, and I think he's going to get over it here as the weather starts warming up.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with it, too. I'm not a big Mikel Franco fan. But
as you shouldn't be.
But, you know, it seemed like when it came out that he was going to get demoted, then...
Okay. I'll start hitting that. Please.
Exactly. and that's usually how a lot of it works. So
It does. All right. I think we got enough third baseman in there unless you got anything else.
Is Nolan Arenado playing?
He is not.
Then no.
But he's still a good option. Shortstops. Carlos Correa is the man. Of course, he's going to headline any slate that he's on. But anybody else sticking out to you?
Zach Cozart. I keep talking about him and Zach Cozart, a lot of Miss Diaz. Those are my two big ones. Don't mind JT Riddle, but probably not going to go there. And of course, Brandon Crawford.
Yes, always indeed. A good option. All weekend he was priced like he was hitting an AT&T Park. Had some nice totals. All came together there yesterday as he had two or three run homer, but he did end up with that homer and four RBIs yesterday, 32.2 on FanDuel. Him being under 3,000, I think he was like even 26 at Citizens Bank Park in the first game of that series. I believe it went up incrementally each day. Like it was like 24, 26, 28 that he was in each game in that series. But yeah, he was just criminally underpriced. Again, this is a guy who his home ballpark is AT&T Park where, you know, he really can't get shit done. But when he gets out on the road and, you know, he gets into these great hitting parks like Citizens Bank Park and Miller Park, he's just criminally underpriced. And, you know, we saw that over the weekend. So,
yeah. And do me a favor. Don't play Trey Turner.
Don't play Trey Turner. Yeah, he's facing a lefty. So.
Just don't do it.
So. The man is ass backwards. I don't know if it's still...
He's got holding. Some severe reverse splits going on this
well,
year.
I was going to say, at some point last week, all of his homers and all of his RBIs were against right-handed pitching. Like, mm-hmm. against lefties, zero homers, zero RBIs.
Yep, exactly.
I'll take a look into that, but that's how it was last week. Shortstop, I mean, Freddie Galvis doesn't have a great BVP history against, Bart Colon, but if you want to get cheap exposure to shortstops, he's not a bad play for GPP pops every now and again. Not my favorite, but certainly not the worst either. I don't even know what the hell else to look. I guess I'll say his Escobar is interesting if you're just looking for an on-base guy, if you want to get real cheap at the shortstop position. Again, I'm not looking for the guy to go yard at Kauffman Stadium, but he, against Mike Fiers, you can certainly get on base a couple times, come around to score, so not the worst one. Eric Sogard, if he's going to be in the lineup, he can be an interesting option there against Jeff Samardzija. But, I think it's pretty much going to be a Correa night.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, Zach Cozart, he's higher rated than Correa, but if you look at their numbers, they're the first two. If you look at their numbers, Zach Cozart actually has him beat in every single number.
Wow.
422 WOBA for Cozart compared to the 404 for Correa. And this is versus handedness of pitching that they're facing tonight. 267 ISO Cozart, Correa 247. OB ISO 687 versus 642.
Wow.
So, yeah. And Cozart is $600-$900 cheaper.
Yeah.
So, right. And plus, you've got the especially in GPPs. Like I'm building currently as we've been talking. I'm playing around with the stack from the Reds, and if Scooter Gennett is in the lineup, you can go Scooter Gennett, Eugenio Suarez, Zach Cozart, and Adam Duvall's your most expensive guy in there, and you have 4,500, almost 4,600 left per player on FanDuel.
Very nice. So. Very nice. All right, let us get into the outfield. I mean, I have a feeling George Springer is probably going to be very popular tonight, but I kind of like some under-the-radar options here tonight. Like Dexter Fowler leading off for the Cardinals tonight in Cincy. I think that's going to be a big one. The Cardinals, you know, hell, if any team is really slated for a big night, I always like going with their leadoff hitter. You know what that means? If the offense is rolling, obviously, you know, not only the leadoff hitter, but guys at the top of that lineup are going to get more at-bats than pretty much anybody on the slate. So, again, if the Cardinals are bopping like Vegas thinks they should, it is very possible that Fowler could get 6 at-bats tonight. So that's something that I really like. Odubel Herrera, criminally underpriced for the way that he's been hitting the last two games, but 5-for-8 with like 4 doubles and a homer over those last two games against the Giants. Bat flipping galore with gap doubles. So he's a guy that that I think people are probably going to go to tonight just based on what he's done over the last 2 days. I don't like that fact, but he is ridiculously cheap. And then I talked about Norichika Aoki. I think he's good to get on base a couple times tonight, score a couple runs. He's at 2,600. Obviously not going to have that same power upside that Odubel Herrera has at SunTrust Park, but you know, from an ownership perspective, it could be interesting.
Yeah, exactly. I think some other good options tonight. You know, you've got Cody Bellinger against Gio. I know it's left on left, but he's got a 333 ISO versus left-handed pitching this season so far. Kiki Hernandez, we talked about him a little bit. He's 2,800, yep. I know, but leading off, he's probably going to get pitch hit for as soon as Gio comes out of lineup. But, you know, if he hits, you know, if he gets a double and a couple RBIs or hits a bomb or something in there, then, you know, he pays off his salary and he's worth it. You know, Matt Kemp is a good option, 242 sure. ISO.
I was going to say the whole Atlanta outfield, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see here.
Speaking of that,
Aaron Altair.
Hold on, real quick. I was going to say, speaking of that Atlanta outfield, Endrin Yarte probably going to be pretty popular. Again, offense is slated to go bananas tonight. Again, with the leadoff hitter, he's there. But yeah, 5-for-5 yesterday with just an absolute monster day. And that was against a lefty in Amir Garrett yesterday who started.
Yeah, exactly. So I did not know that. That's good to know.
But okay, you're gonna give a Philly praise. Let's.
I was gonna say Aaron Altair, if he's I don't know how he's been doing lately, but he is going against Bartolo, yeah. And then of course Adam Duvall, and if Scott Schebler's in that lineup, he would be the preferred, just because he's, you know, $600 cheaper than Duvall, but I think Scott Schebler is one of the most underrated outfielders in all of baseball right now.
For sure. Yeah, again, him and Hamilton got hurt in both of them in that Saturday game and had to come out. So I don't know what their situation is, if they're going to play or not, but that's certainly something to keep an eye on. Carlos Beltran's a guy that probably is going to go overlooked. Now, he is 3,800 on FanDuel, which is way the hell priced up. But
good BVP. Again,
a lot of people are just overlooking him in these Astros stacks. And, you know, again, with guys on base, those are extra RBI opportunities. We know that, you know, he's not the same power upside kind of guy. But again, and I say this a lot, even with, you know, like a guy like Adrian Gonzalez, who almost has no more power anymore. But if these guys are slated for a good day, I think the RBI opportunities kind of make up somewhat for that that power upside. Now, a guy like Adrian Gonzalez is so much cheaper than a guy like Carlos Beltran, but again, the Astros offense nowadays is putting up football numbers, so that is something to keep an eye on. And Lorenzo Cain is interesting here too. He's been swinging the bat a little better. Doesn't necessarily have a lot of the you know, the RBI number, the gaudy numbers like that. He's only hit one homer over the last 6 games, but he's only had 3 this season. But if the Royals can get a couple guys on base, again, their offense is doing a lot better lately. More RBI opportunities for Lorenzo Cain could mean more fantasy points for him. We know he's always got the stolen base upside as well. So, you know, things like that are interesting for tournaments. He's not that expensive either, but.
Exactly. I mean, Kane's been an interesting guy this year because he's kind of not been good at all. Right. And now all of a sudden he's starting to become better and nobody knows.
Yeah,
like, well, again, everybody played him early in the season, but now nobody knows what he's been doing because his overall numbers just don't look good.
As I say, too, as Kane has kind of gone, so has the Royals' offense. I mean, the Royals' offense, the first 2 months of the season, pretty much first 2 months of the season, has been absolute dog shit. But, you know, you look at them here over the last 2 weeks, and they, you know, been doing so much better. So, again, too, Fires is going to give up some runs tonight. I'm sure Kane will have something to do with it.
I agree.
All right, cool. All right, that'll do it for our Monday podcast here today. Hope you got plenty of information to move forward with this 7-game slate. Of course, we already got Chop's article out. We got David's Free Squares article out already. Burns' analytics quarter already out on the website.
Projections will be up here shortly.
Indeed, yes, yes. So I'll probably have my article out. Going to be the game-by-game breakdown with some game notes in there as well. So that'll probably be out. I don't know, maybe 4 o'clock Eastern today. There's not too many games to get to, and I'm pretty much done with it already. So I'll have that out. And then if Keir's Boomers Ballers makes its return, so that'll probably be out around, what, an hour and a half before lock?
Yeah, about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
All right, cool. We'll have that. And then VIP lineups page, get its final update an hour before lock, so we'll have that. And that'll do it. And yep. Again, too, if you're not signed up with us yet, promo code WIN, W-I-N, on DFSArmy.com gives you 7 days for free to show you everything that we've got behind the walls. And then if you like us after 7 days, join us up for a month, for a year, whatever the case is, we'd love to have you. So definitely come in and join us. Any final words?
Let's pick up where we left off before vacation.
Indeed. All right. That's going to do it for us. We go.
Peace out.